again, Anchor. So today we're going to talk just a little bit about Anna Freud. She is Freud's youngest daughter. And she wrote a lot during World War II, Austrian. And, you know, a lot from where she's writing, a lot of things are happening not that far away with death camps and awful situations. But she's okay, and she gets to write these books on psychodynamics and psychoanalytics like her father. She's, I think, his most famous child for these writings. And Anna Freud wrote one on defense mechanisms and the ego. And a few of the defense mechanisms read as sublimation, displacement, projection, and identification with the aggressor. And we'll go through these briefly. So sublimation a lot of the time has to do with if some negative thinking pattern is occurring with the individual, to sort of displace it in creative activity, like art. And there are a lot of Jewish people during the Holocaust and after the Holocaust that did make art. You can even go, I've been in the Czech Republic, I saw children's artwork. They were kept in camps, and and they have lots of drawings that you can go look at in the Czech Republic that they drew. So they have these works of art where they are taking negative energy and they're placing it into a creative work, and a lot of time it's sad, or, you know, they see other worlds. And this is called sublimation, according to Anna Freud. Displacement. So the Jews were getting displaced at this time. Their houses and banks were being stolen, and they were being put into death camps or into sort of community living situations where their identity was being stolen too. And not exactly in the death camp, but in something where they're being reality blocked also, and having eugenics experiments done on some of them. Displacement is when you substitute negative thinking patterns for an unhealthy distraction. Like, let's say, smoking a cigarette or punching something to change the thinking pattern, and it's to displace that negative energy. And a lot in the camps, a lot of it, they would be, let's say, negative thinking patterns, and they then deprive them. They're being controlled to be deprived of eating food. So this is a negative energy form that somebody's controlling that they're doing it to. So it sort of distracts them because they're feeling a pain in their body from thinking about why this is happening if they're starving. So that's a controlled one. But there are lots of them, and you can go and look at studies and see what they're doing also. That's not in a controlled one. Identification with the aggressor. It's maybe, you know, the other is trying to help me and keeping me hostage or keeping me in this terrible situation. And there are tons of Jews that might have identified with a particular guard and thought maybe it is trying to help me. And some of them even survived and even, you know, wrote books on the phenomenon. And they try to identify with them. Like, maybe it's not that they're trying to kill me. Maybe they're trying to help me. And sometimes that particular defense mechanism, sometimes it works. And there might be something to it mentally. Like, maybe it's doing something from it, and it's not incorrect exactly, and they do tap into something, and maybe some of them, that is why they survived. It's not impossible if there are real psychical forms that protect people, that it's doing that for some reason. And this happened. And there's also the negation of that, where they think that this is happening to them because the other hates them. And so that'd be a negative variation, but it's also a defense mechanism. Like, it's not my fault, and they hate me. And, of course, the Jews did this a lot also. And Freud and his daughter are two of the most famous that we use in the West after World War II, even, in mental health, still to this day, with analyzing people and psychoanalytics. to make sure that they are, you know, if they want to be analyzed, that they're functioning in a certain way, and, you know, that they're aware. They want the person to become more aware of certain thinking patterns, and they think that builds a stronger self, to be more integrated, to understand how the mind is working. And they think that some people have potentials intellectually, the more they think about it, to then advance as a person and become stronger internally, because they are learning all these different thinking mechanisms that they write about. And so to have a civilization, as we talked on the previous episode, where they're not doing something like the Nazis did to people in World War II, and they're not stealing Jews or some other group from their house and not doing biological experiments on them, to have a civilization that's thriving, where people still have, like they write about in Civilization and its Discontent with Her Father, they still have the desire for the other and the desire to preserve the self and not to kill the other and not to kill the self. So Eros and Thanatos, again, to have this, they need to have the ego protected. Otherwise, they can't have it. And they turn into races that are being stolen then, is what it's like in eugenics. And they're mutating them into some other ratings that is a negative of society. The death camp, the eugenics Jew, these are negatives of society. The healthy person that's autonomous, the Jewish person that has family in a house and, you know, can practice Judaism and can have friends and family and can eat the food and can use all these defense mechanisms positively to keep active of the society where, you know, it's a high operating society and everybody's preserving the self and the other. So it's interesting how their works mirrored Freud with a civilization of discontent was before World War II, maybe like about a decade, or not even a decade, like half a decade before. And his daughter's writing on defense mechanisms and the ego is World War II. And the person that taught me these books, she writes a lot on Nazis and the Jews and psychoanalytics even to this day. And she's published in lots of academic journals. And she's one of a few that are, you know, one of the top ones for teaching it in schools in the United States of America that's still to this day writing about them. She's an interesting read. If you guys read academic journals, I recommend her. I took class with her. Her name is Elizabeth Danto. You can find her in academic databases on psychoanalytics, and it'll come up if you look into different kinds of journals on psychoanalytics and psychodynamics. She'll come up a lot with World War II, the Jews and the Nazis. So I think it's real, even back then. I think there's some higher level intelligence that, you know, you could perceive as something's wrong from another reality, and they're stealing the life force of the Jews for another reality, possibly with eugenics experiments and starving them. They're stealing something from them, and they're stealing them from their house. And it's possible there's another reality that where they're in a biological war, and it's not being explained what they're doing with their technologies, and that's possibly part of it. But there's also an intelligence that's saying something's wrong, and it's mirroring the language. And some people, they could be living in close proximity to this and not necessarily that much contributing to it. And doing, like Carl Jung also, he wrote a lot with his dreams and the unconscious during this time, and he retreated from it all and went to go sit in a house and saw how the disturbed psychical forms of World War II were talking to him, and he wrote books on this, and language gets mirrored into a lot with his books too. So it's real. It's almost like they already have an artificial intelligence because they already have Hollywood, they already have radio, and they can put all kinds of things out into transmission with thought forms from even back then. So it's almost like they're, because they have that, even if they're not acknowledging it, they already had an artificial intelligence or some higher reality that is mirroring language through them. And we talked a few episodes back about Jacques Lacan, too, and his mirror stage theory. And it all mirrors everything. If you start studying psychoanalytics and world history and creative people, you start to see everything in language is mirrored. And it's really not ungifted. I recently started getting into Google Apps has a, you can play around with, some of them are free. You can play a few free chapters. If you like it, you know, you can make a purchase for $2, or sometimes they even give you a free gift for like $2 now and again, just for fun. And you can play these video games. One of the companies is called Artifex Mundi, I don't dislike them. They're all kinds of like old-fashioned quests with fairy tales and old world orders, and also new world, kind of marrying it into the new world. And there's problems with people getting stolen by technology, and they're learning things like of a higher level nature. And then these like occult groups sort of break in with robes and kidnap them a lot. Like it's a certain phenomenon that can happen if you're getting stolen by another reality or something like that. And it repeats throughout a lot of their gaming, variations. And like I said, you can play a few chapters for free in a lot of them. So I recommend you guys checking those out. They're really gifted off, I think, artistically. Much more advanced than, you know, the original Nintendo from a few decades back, if you guys remember those in the 1980s. These are really high-level works of art. I think every screen is, like, the level of even more advanced than sometimes what you see in Disney movies. So I really recommend it. It's really great cartoon animation. Amazing, actually. And the stories are really interesting, too. And they make you think about newer archetypes of another reality beyond and how there might be wars between realities and people getting stolen sometimes. And sometimes it has to do with biology and technology. And sometimes it has to do with the soul, which might also be an energy. And which is what they argue for in the great epics like Star Wars. You know, they were arguing this in the early 1980s. And these are movies that gajillions of people have saw. And some people just think, you know, it's a mild entertainment form. But some people really get into it and really think there's something to it. So yeah, check out Artifacts Monday if you get a chance on Google Apps. I really recommend them. And check out Samantha Freud. She's good. And think about World War II and history and how to stay in a society. We can't be stealing people and killing them. We have to be preserving ourselves and others. And that has to do with mental health too. Because if you can't have that, you can't keep your head, right? Okay, Anchor, thanks for tuning in again and listening to one of my spontaneous rambles, and I will talk to you all again soon. Have a good night.